In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Understand that, you know, this is somebody who is like an uncle to me. He's somebody who helped me find Christ.
Barack knows what it means to be a black man living in a country that is controlled by rich white people.
Michelle and I told Reverend Otis Moss that we were withdrawing as members of Trinity, United Church of Christ, my home church.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
And I believe we worship the same God. Islam is peace.
I am awed and honored and humbled to have been elected by my sister and brother bishops in the Episcopal Church.
Welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are coming to you live this Friday. It's the 4th of July, Independence Day, and in that vein, we're going to spend some time today talking about subjects in and around American independence and the American idea, ideal. We're going to begin by talking about the military chaplaincy. Chaplain Jonathan Shaw joins us here in just a moment. You can join us as well. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Coming up a little later in the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us. We're going to answer the question, among others, is the United States a Christian nation? A lot of Christians are celebrating today as a religious holiday in addition to being a patriotic holiday. Is that appropriate? And then in the second hour of the program, Mark Hemingway joins us. He's a reporter for National Review. He'll join us from Washington, D.C. We'll talk about the 2008 election. I got a lot of catching up to do on the 2008 election, especially on air. Dr. Angus Manoj will join us for the remainder of that second hour to talk about Christianity and culture, two kingdom theology. God rules the church, but what about the world? That's the lineup for this day's Issues Etc. Chaplain Jonathan Shaw is Lieutenant Colonel in the Army, active duty, and he joins us to talk about the military chaplaincy. Chaplain Shaw, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. Good to be with you today.
I think Rush Limbaugh is famous for saying that soldiers, military people have a job. It's to hurt people and break things. So what does a soldier need a pastor for?
Well, that's a great question. If we go with Rush Limbaugh's analysis, we have to say, first, a soldier needs a pastor just like every other person would need a pastor. But because of his occupation, where he comes face-to-face with the effects of the corruption that has penetrated this world, the creation, people, because he comes face-to-face with aggression and war, and because he comes face-to-face then with his own shortcomings in that situation, he needs to be able to have a pastor who can bring him the healing, the strength, the hope, and the forgiveness which overcomes the corruption which he finds in himself and which he has to deal with every day in combat environments. And so he needs a pastor to be able to have and receive the life and power of Jesus Christ through a living faith in him.
One of the things that surprised me about talking to soldiers is to what degree they view this as, at the same time, a very special calling from their country to serve the people of the country, but also at the same time, a job like any other job that they might, a very dangerous job, but just a job. Talk a bit about that, the soldier's mindset, especially those who are actively serving us in the theater of war.
Well, it's true. The soldiers I know, and I've served active duty the last 20 years, they are proud to be able to serve their nation. They are patriotic men and women, and I'm proud to serve alongside of them. However, as you mentioned, when you actually go into harm's way, what is motivating you in at the tip of the spear is not a sense of patriotism, but a sense of comradeship with the soldiers that are on your left and on your right. You're fighting together as a team, and you're there to do a job. And you don't think of a high and mighty concept such as patriotism when you're actually doing it. You're thinking, this is my job, and now I'm going to do it. My buddy is depending on me, and I'm going to do my part of the mission so that together we can do what we're called to do.
What then is the chaplain's job in the midst of all that?
Well, briefly, it's said that the chaplain is there to bring God to the soldier and soldier to God. And there are two parts to the chaplain's job. The number one part, of course, for a chaplain is to be the religious leader in the unit with the soldiers and with the family members of the soldiers when they're back in garrison to the unit he's assigned. So that means to be, if you're deployed in a combat scenario, to be at the right place at the right time with the right ministry. It might mean walking alongside of soldiers as they're doing maintenance. It might mean saying a prayer with them as they go out on a mission. It might mean at other times conducting services and sacraments and religious education classes. It might mean praying with the wounded and injured in a very dangerous scenario. So it's very broad. That's the religious side of it. And then there's also a religious support staff officer side. I mentioned being able to be at the right place at the right time to give the right kind of ministry on the battlefield. There are implied competencies in order to deliver that ministry. You have to be able to understand security and intelligence and operations, how to move safely on a battlefield. So there are those elements of also planning. So you need to be able to train in order to do the tasks that need to be done for soldiers and their families.
How difficult is it being stationed abroad, as so very many are now?
Well, one would need to make a distinction. If you're assigned in, Germany or Korea, which is not an active combat environment, that's abroad. And so it's, of course, hard because you're away from most of your family and friends. However, there is a sense of excitement about being able to see a new culture and new people. And you always have your sub-community of your fellow soldiers and family members. But it's, of course, more difficult when you're in a scenario where you could be wounded or killed. And it's very interesting. You know, you can go about doing your job, and things can go pretty well, and you'd never know exactly what a day is going to bring. You could do the same task, perhaps participating in a convoy to deliver some items, anything from beans to bullets, and everything could go well for 41 days in a row, and on the 42nd day, you know, it could be a terrible day. So you just never know. So there's certainly a lot of tension involved.
You mentioned the prospect of death. I want you to speak briefly, if you would, about that situation in which the soldier knows that he faces death, especially in those most dangerous places they're assigned, knows that he faces death every day, and what the chaplain, the Christian chaplain, speaks to the soldier who's going through that on a day-to-day basis.
Boy, there is no higher privilege than being able to pray with soldiers before going into harm's way, not knowing what you're going to face, and to ask for God's blessing and strength to be able to do everything that our nation and military calls us to do, and to do it with strength and courage and confidence. And that confidence, knowing that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, that He has secured for us a place in heaven through His own righteous death and glorious resurrection, that we have those benefits through faith and baptism. And I'm telling you, it's the greatest moment in the life of a chaplain, at least it is for me personally, to be able to pray that God will help us to do whatever it takes today in this war, and to be confident that whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
We've talked a bit about how the task of the chaplain serving soldiers is in many ways different from a pastor serving parishioners who are not facing the prospects of war on their doorstep. But in what way, chaplain, is the task of the chaplain exactly the same as a pastor serving people in a parish in the Midwest?
Absolutely. In many ways, day in, day out, we get up, we're called to various vocations in life, be it as a farmer, as a soldier, as a businessman, as a school teacher, as a student. And the devil afflicts us with all kinds of temptations and doubts, wanting us to despair in case of a paucity or a lack of perceived goodness in our life, or on the other side, to fall toward temptation in the luxuries or enticements of this world. Soldiers and their families are no different, and they need the forgiveness of God and the grace of God given in Jesus Christ through His Word, which enables us to live as His people. They feel the same stressors of life, people getting sick, kids going to school, the crunch of the budget, the worries about what will happen to the moral fabric of our nation, the same kinds of stressors throughout.
Chaplain Jonathan Shaw is Lieutenant Colonel in the Army, active duty. Joined us to talk about the military chaplaincy on this Independence Day. Chaplain Shaw, thanks for being our guest.
My privilege, and may God bless you and your very important ministry.
When we come back from this break, is the United States a Christian nation? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is going to answer that question. There are a lot of people celebrating the 4th of July as a religious holiday. Is it? We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the Spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.